shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcast. I guess the New Year's edition, at least on man's calendar. Our real New Year begins with the spring equinox. However, I'd like to wish you a happy New Year anyway. We're being heard tonight over WWCR 4.840 megahertz and our new frequency of 5.890 megahertz, also over WBCQ 7.490 megahertz, and both of those stations have live internet streams. However, you can get the best internet stream by going to our website, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com. Go to the radio page, and then down near the bottom of the radio page, you'll see a black box that has links to Windows Media, Real Player, Winamp, and so on. And those links are directly from our studio in Nashville, so they should give you the clearest internet feed. Usually at the first of the year, people look forward to the future. This past year, we've had some false prophets out in Judeo-Christianity. Harold Camping, I'm thinking of at the moment, predicted a couple times the rapture, so-called rapture. Unfortunately, we have some people in the Israel Identity message that also give false prophecies. But tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to look way back to the past, to one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and the only one that still exists, and that's the Great Pyramid. Among other things, we're going to be looking into the pyramid dating system that indicates events that have taken place in the past and perhaps what we can expect in the future. My guest tonight is an old-timer in the Israel Identity message. He's been a member of the congregations of Dr. Swift, Pastor Comprey, and Colonel Gale, where he came into contact with Dr. Adam Rutherford, a famous pyramidologist. He's now a pyramidologist in his own right. He's been to Egypt a number of times, measuring the pyramid and doing studies over there, and a Bible teacher and a longtime friend. And I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Lee Jandiber.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Thank you for inviting me to the show again. I certainly appreciate all your efforts to get the truth out, especially on the two seed line biblical message.
We try to teach the traditional message, and glad to have you tonight. Before we get into the pyramid itself, like I said, you've traveled over to Egypt a number of times and have done some studies. The Bible says that the brothers of Joseph didn't know who he was, and that was obviously indicated that the other Egyptians at that time were just as white as Joseph, Adamic peoples. And Scripture also tells us over in Exodus 1:8 and Act that there came a time when Pharaoh knew not Joseph. A change had taken place. And I was wondering, from your studies and the various monuments and paintings over there, what have you determined concerning the racial makeup of the ancient Egyptians?
Mike, that's a very good question, and I'd like to, if you would, I'd like to open with a little prayer. I've always found that without our Father's help, over the 75 years I've lived, I've found that I need it. So, Heavenly Father, if you would just open our eyes that we may see, and open our ears that we may hear. And we come to you tonight to seek knowledge, and with knowledge, wisdom, and with knowledge and wisdom to gain understanding. because this is the end times. We're watching very carefully that we do not mislead our people. And we give you all the praise and the glory in thy holy name, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Mike, that record of the white race being in ancient Egypt has been almost been destroyed by the children of Cain. They really have made every effort. You will go to Egypt and you will see names. There's actually statues over there that have the name under the statue or on the statue that's been chiseled out, and other names have been added, and some pharaohs' names have even completely disappeared. They got a kind of a shock 6 months ago. The head of the University of Arkansas Department of Archaeology here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, told my wife Kay and I that, quote, there's no such thing as a race in modern archaeology. And they're teaching the students there at the university that there's no such thing as race.
Actually, what they use to teach that nonsense shows that there's more than the traditional three or four races, but there's many sub-races, but they distort it to teach that there's no race at all.
Yeah, I understand there's as many as 14 Earth races. All of the hieroglyphics that you see carved or painted on the walls at all the various sites up and down the Nile are only about the pharaohs and no one else. And that is why there's no record whatsoever of Joseph, because he was just an assistant to Pharaoh. There's no record of Israel coming into Egypt. There's no record of Moses or the Exodus. The Pharaoh that was pursuing Israel during the Exodus, any writing about that is, well, he was just fighting in the other direction. No Pharaoh ever loses any kind of a war or anything. In fact, there is no record of Joseph and Mary taking the Christ as a baby and fleeing down to Egypt, anywhere in Egypt. So in my travels there, I saw many of the statues with their noses broken off. And you look through the books on Egypt and you'll see that even the Sphinx had its nose blown off by the French Napoleon army with one of their cannon. And the reason the noses are gone is you can't tell whether they were hooked or not. And so you can't tell the difference between an Israelite and a Canaanite.
I'm assuming that the older pharaohs, when Joseph first went down into Egypt, were Adamic, and that the later ones were what we call Hittites or Canaanites, yes, or Edomites.
Yes, in Genesis it says that the pharaoh of the Exodus knew not Joseph. That's very true. The only statues of white people that I have come across are the stonemasons who built the pyramids. And the first pyramid, of course, it's a great pyramid. It was copied by the next pharaoh, and but there's no information in it. You know, the people, when we trace back, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, joined in a joint venture with one of the Eastern colleges, I don't know whether it was Yale or Harvard, and put a lot of money into feeding all of the Indo-European, as we're called, they don't call us white people anymore, Indo meaning India, European, that's where they see us pop up about 600 AD after the Assyrian captivity. But anyway, they have put all of the female mitochondria and into a supercomputer in Canada, and they have traced back all Indo-Europeans to 20 women in Africa, and their official statement is it was 21 women in North Africa about 5,500 BC. So that is the official origin of the white race. The if you pull up the website www.toureegypt.com, it says that the first civilized people having domesticated animals, grains, or metallurgy, even organized cemeteries, lived in the villages along the Nile beginning about 5,500 BC. And before that, all of them were hunter-gatherers. They just lived in little villages, and if they buried their dead, they were buried wherever they fell.
I know that in my study, God's Great Race, it's a little pamphlet that I wrote many years ago, one of the ways that you could trace the Israelites from ancient Israel up into Europe was by the burial mounds. That's not something that the other races have. A lot of the heathen burn their people through cremation and stuff, but our people have buried them in both crypts and burial mounds.
Very true, and luckily in Egypt, we have a lot of mummies. Not very many daddies, but a lot of mummies. Anyway, we can look at their noses when we unwrap them, and that's the easiest way to tell, if you look at some of those Canaanites, most of them lived on the west side of the Nile, and most of Israel was living in the eastern portion of the Nile Delta. Egypt is really all desert now. It used to be much larger as far as vegetation, but the progression of the equinox has slowly moved the desert all the way up to the Nile, except for the delta and small strip of land along the Nile itself. But
we know that Goshen was some rich land that our Israelite ancestors had. But as far as the white migrations that were in Egypt, I guess there were several. There was the ancient people from Shem, like the high priest of On and his daughter that Joseph married. And then there were Hamitic people, which were Adamic, but of course not of the chosen seed line through Shem. And some others. Would you like to comment on the various white migrations into Egypt?
Moses was actually in the Exodus, in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, about verse 15 through 21, the daughter of the high priest of Midian gave Moses his daughter to be his wife. And when she first met Moses, he came upon her and supplied water from the well. And she went in and told her father that it was an Egyptian out there at the well that drew all the water, and that's why we're back to the house so quickly. And her father said, "Well, bring the man in. Let's find out." So here, Moses, they thought, looked like an Egyptian, and Moses was certainly a white man, and couldn't be anything else but. So we do have a few little hints along the way. The Great Pyramid tells us that the first people arrived in Egypt in the year of 5449 B.C. Now, that's the height of the Great Pyramid up to where the capstone layer at the top. It was the stone the builders rejected, the Bible tells us. It's symbolic of Christ. So when you measure from the earth's surface at the bottom up to the capstone level, you find out it's 5,449. And let me carry that a little farther here. That brings me to the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah chapter 19:19-20. And let me just read that out of the Companion Bible, which is my favorite. King James 16:11. Let's see, Isaiah 19 here. Got so many books.
I have it here in case you need me to read it.
Here we are. That verse says, "In that day shall there be an altar to Yahweh in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to Yahweh. It shall be for a sign and for a witness unto Yahweh of hosts in the land of Egypt." Now we stop there. That verse adds up to when you take and, well, let me back up a little bit here. Hebrew is an alphanumeric language. It's a little bit like the Roman numerals. Every letter in Hebrew has a numerical value. And when you read or take this verse in Hebrew and convert every letter to its numerical value and add up the total, it comes to 5,449. Now, that is not only the height of the Great Pyramid, that is the distance from the entrance door down into the pit and over to the what is called the dead end passage, where the passage just ends in a just at a dead end. And so there's a double witness that this verse in the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah was written around 600 BC by the prophet, and he said that there is an altar. Now, there's only two kinds of altars in the Bible. One is an altar of sacrifice, where you just take rough, unhewn stones and pile them up to burn a sacrifice on it. The other type of altar is an altar of witness, and that's where you carve the stones and make an altar of witness, and that is what we have here, that it's supposed to be as a sign and a witness to Yahweh Yahweh of hosts in the land of Egypt.
Some people, I guess, call this witness the Bible in stone because of the pyramid dating system, which I believe you're going to get into.
Right.
Confirms as a double witness some of the things in the Bible. Let me, before we go any further, give our toll-free number in case anybody would like to call. That's 877-924-7722. 877-YAHS-RACE. You can remember it that way. 877-924-7722, and we'd invite our callers to call in with any questions or comments they may have. We did have a caller just a little bit ago who reported that first 5 minutes of 4.840 megahertz WWCR was out. We do have 5.890, and also WBCQ was 7.490. We always appreciate your reception reports because we want to know how our system is doing.
Well, I appreciate them calling in. If anyone does have a question, I'm going to go ahead and cover the rest of how this verse identifies the Great Pyramid. People think it's just I've heard that it was a power plant of some sort, and I've heard that it was supposed to be a hydrogen generator of some type and this sort of thing. But I want to talk only about the spiritual nature of the pyramid and how it's tied into the Bible. The Bible tells us where it is. It says that it will be in the midst or middle of the land of Egypt. If you draw a line down through the Nile Delta, right in the through the middle of the land, pass over the Great Pyramid, you will have divided the earth. If you would cut the earth in half at that line, north and south, you would divide the earth into two parts that have an equal amount of land. Now, if you divide it horizontally through the Great Pyramid, you will have, once again, the two halves of equal amount of land. If you take into consideration that there's land under the South Pole and that there is no land under the North Pole. So it is located exactly in the center of Egypt. It forms a 90-degree triangle at containing the Nile Delta. And if you follow up that river, you'll find that originally there were four large lakes 200 miles across. There are two of them still there. One of them is Lake Victoria, very famous, the Victorian Falls. It's a 4,000-mile river that flows from south of the equator north into the Mediterranean Sea.
These measurements couldn't have been known by the ancient peoples. They would have had to have been inspired by Yahweh, our God himself.
Well, someone certainly would have to be able to fly over the earth. That's how the original, 1958 was the International Geophysical Year, and we finally got a satellite up into orbit after the Russians had put a couple of them up. And our first satellite discovered that the north polar radius of the Earth was 10 million sacred cubits of 25 inches long, and well within the accuracy of the number of meters that the NASA officials excitedly announced. And here it was already the measurement that was used to build the Great Pyramid 4,500 years ago. So they were a little bit behind the times on getting that measurement out to us. But anyway, if you go to the top of the pyramid and you stand on the top of the pyramid, you are standing at the mean sea level of all of the Earth's surface. If you measure the distance around the base of the Great Pyramid in sacred cubits, 25-inch cubits, that's the same cubit that they built Solomon's temple with. If you measure the distance around the Great Pyramid, it'll tell you all three number of days in all three types of years: the sidereal year, anatomical year, and my memory, I can't pull up the last one, but those are the three ways that you can measure.
We're told in 1 Chronicles 1:19 that in the days of Peleg that the earth was divided. Would you believe that the Great Pyramid was the division, not splitting of the earth, but a measurement type of a division?
Absolutely. It was put there to prove that it was a witness to God. And in the book of Job also, Job is asked by God, where were you when I planted the sockets in the earth? And that the Great Pyramid has the whole first layer of stones are carved into sockets, which hold it solid so that it is never slipped, even during the earthquakes.
So, Peleg was one of the sons of Eber, which is where we get the name Hebrew, one of our ancestors.
Right, he was a Shemite.
I assume that it was Hebrews that built this, maybe Eber and Peleg, or who built the pyramid?
Well, the pyramid was built about 500 years after the flood of Noah. Flood of Noah, as close as we can determine, occurred at 3145 BC. And I've lost my train of thought there, Mike. It's what happens when you get to be an old man.
Well, we were talking about who built the pyramid, and you said it was built after the days of Noah.
Oh, okay. Yes. That was probably Eber's son, and his name, he had 12 sons also.
I thought he had two.
His name is Joktan.
Peleg and Joktan, yes.
Right. Now, Joktan is mentioned in the genealogy of Shem. And Shem had been driven out of Egypt earlier when Noah cursed Ham's grandson, or Ham's son, Noah's grandson, Canaan, for what he had done, and he drove Shem and Japheth, along with Canaan, out of Egypt. Everybody is told by the churches today that Ham was turned black. Well, his son was driven out, Canaan, because Shem and Japheth went back and hid the genealogy that his mother was a Canaanite. And that was the reason that that Canaan was cursed, not Ham. So now Ham ruled Egypt and was the first pharaoh of Egypt, and his other son, name was Mizraim, and that is the name of Egypt that in Hebrew that is used by the Egyptians today. The nation of Egypt is called Mizraim. If you go into the Bibles that contain maps and go back to the oldest maps, the oldest time, you'll find the map of after the flood, where Mizraim is the ruler of, or Ham stayed in Egypt and ruled. It has Mizraim, and Shem and Japheth ruled the rest of the known world. And they took over the rulership of all the cities. The Great Pyramid was built 500 years after the flood, in 2623 BC, and we know it was built by the white men, by the statues that of the builders themselves.
Now, before we get into the actual inch year system, why don't we give out our number once more?
Sure.
To any people who'd like to discuss the Great Pyramid, it's toll-free number 877-924-7722. If you'd like to talk with my guest Lee Chandiper, 877-YAWS-RACE, 877-924-7722. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the numbering system or the inch-year scale that we have seen various things take place in,
in the past? In the pyramid itself, we can tell by the dimensions of all the tunnels and rooms that it was built using what is called a cubit of man. At that time, it was 20.6 inches. Usually, it's measured from the elbow to the end of the hand of the pharaoh. And so they used their own measuring system to build it. We did not discover, like I say, we did not discover that until 1958, the 25-inch sacred cubit, or we were not able to prove it until 1958. Now, God did not use the sacred or the cubit of man. He instead used the 25-inch sacred cubit. And where do we start? That's the next question. We've got the descending passage, and you get about a third of the way down the descending passage. You're about to go into the ground itself, the underlying bedrock. And there it runs into what's called the ascending passage. And you have a choice. You can continue on down into the pit, or you can turn and go up into the king's chamber. The north star shines down the descending passage until you get about a third of the way down, or fourth of the way down the passage, and then you can no longer see it. We know in the year 2141 that the North Star could shine directly down the descending passage. And there was a dragon star called Draconis. It's a constellation that in that year was at exactly 90 degree angle, and there is a line in the descent on the wall of the descending passage on one of the stones that lines up with that Star of Gorgona. So from that point, we can measure. It's called the scribe line, and we set the date at 2141 BC. Then you measure 1 inch at a time. You measure down until you hit the entrance to the ascending passage, and we find the date of the Exodus at 1453 BC. Now, we measure up that first ascending passage, and we come to a place where it opens up into what's called the Grand Gallery. And there in the floor is a stone which defines what is called the Christ Triangle. That gives us the date of the birth of Christ as September 29th, 2 BC, the date of his baptism, the date of his death and resurrection. And they are at the point where it opens up into this magnificent grand gallery that's twice as wide, and you can stand up at 286 inches higher, and you can walk up these two ramps on each side that lead you up to the antechamber, and can then get back down on your knees and crawl into the king's chamber where the sarcophagus is located, which has no lid and represents the resurrection of the children of light. So this whole system is based on 1 inch equals a year in measurement.
And you found it to be accurate in history.
All the way down, you can measure, you're measuring stone. It's accurate all the way down to a tenth of an inch. We went over there in 1976 at Passover in April. And Jack Moffat, myself, and Bill Fowler, and a couple other men, we went over there specifically to survey and verify all the measurements. And Napoleon was the first one that measured it. He brought in a lot of his own people with he brought in his whole army, but he also brought a lot of scientific people from Paris with him. And they spent a lot of time working on Egypt's. He was probably the first real archaeologist down there. But up at the beginning of the passage that leads you to the antechamber and on into the king's chamber is the date of when the World War I began. And
this be when General Allenby took Jerusalem?
Right. Without firing a shot. And that is foretold in the book of Isaiah also, I believe. Anyway, on September 23rd, 1979, the floor turns into, from limestone, it turns into granite. Pink granite, 178 pounds per cubic foot. So you got a cubic foot of it, you can't even pick it up. In fact, it's hard to get enough people around it to pick it up. At that date, a lot of people thought that, and we were one of them, thought that that would probably be the date of the return of Christ. And obviously, we were wrong. But I think that there have been many things that have happened since that date. And I'd like to just touch on a few of them. But what what is significant is that there are many things in the end times in the Bible that have not happened yet. And we're waiting. The Bible says, wait upon Yahweh. And we are waiting. Take, for instance, the dry bones of Israel in Ezekiel 37:10. After they're taught and come together, they stand up as a great army. And I'm waiting for the day that Ezekiel 37:10 is fulfilled and the Israelites stand up as a great army. Scales fall from their eyes and their eyes are opened as to who they are, what the truth is, and who the enemy is. You know, a lot of people follow back their own genealogy. We should be also tracing back the genealogy of the enemy, the descendants of the seducer of Eve. And the only thing I can say is that it's on God's timetable, not on ours. I look for Matthew 24, verse 27. Says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We haven't seen that yet. If you look at Revelation chapter 9, the time of the locust, that hasn't occurred yet. Mike, I think we all look through a glass darkly, as the Bible says. And I think we need to be good watchmen on the wall. I think it's time to really seek knowledge and get wisdom. And with knowledge and wisdom,
well, now these are scriptures that are unfulfilled that you're speaking of, and of course we look forward to it. It'd be a big difference if the scales fall off the eyes of our people and the dry bones start being put together by the Spirit of Yahweh from what we have today, which is completely different. But yeah. Are there any indications in the pyramid that certain events, maybe you don't know what they are, but there's some changes in the pyramid or something that may take place in the future?
Well, let me recommend that those that are interested and have the internet available, there are a lot of sites on the internet that give just fantastic pictures of all the rooms and passageways and the Grand Gallery and the Queen's Chamber and the King's Chamber and the Pit. It says that during the millennium, Satan's going to be locked in the pit. Well, I can guarantee you, because I've gone down into the pit, and it's 127 feet down a incline of 26 degrees. Oh, and by the way, if you go at 26 degrees from the pyramid, if you go north east at 26 degree angle, you'll come to a little town 5 miles south of Jerusalem called Bethlehem. Specifically, you'll come to a cave and a cliff there where the lambs were, the sacrificial lambs were kept, and where Christ was born. So I believe that his birth was on September 29th. The shepherds were not in the fields on Christmas Day. But I think this is the date of conception.
I'd like to mention here that we carry a video, a DVD, by E. Raymond Capp, the archaeologist, the biblical archaeologist, called The Great Pyramid Decoded, God's Stone Witness. And we ask a donation of $24 for it. But it is quite a thorough study, and it does have various pictures that you've mentioned before. So anybody who'd like to study further into this. Also, I know it's a little hard to follow all of the points that have been made, but this broadcast is available on CD. It's also available on our website, or will be available as a archived message as soon as we can get it up this coming week. I see we have a caller on line two.
Oh, hello. Yes. If he could briefly expand on a point he made a while ago about the progression of the equinoxes, helping to deforest the Nile up in there. What does he mean by the progression of the equinoxes?
The progression of the equinox is, you ever see a little top that you spin, and as it slows down, it starts to wobble? Well, the Earth wobbles on its axis in exactly that same way. And I believe it's every 28,000 years it makes a complete wobble, and we come back to the starting point. So as the Earth progresses, and it's, like I say, it's been 7,500 years since we came here, our first ancestors, the position of the North Pole, or the magnetic poles move, yes, but the position that the North Pole points into the heavens, into the stars, slowly draws this wobble, it slowly wobbles around, and it actually changes all of the climates on the Earth. And that's why the last ice age ended about 8,000 BC. And we get small climate changes caused, I call them small, changes caused by sunspots. We've had an extremely high number of sunspots this last year, caused all the radical changes in our weather. But don't follow the Jews on this. They'll tell you that the planet's getting colder because we're burning up all our, et cetera, et cetera. But you know. Does that help you a little bit?
Yes. I have a friend who's been trying to, some things about the equinox, the changing of it, like instead of March, it's actually in February, doing little things on his own, measuring the length of day and night, equal days, uh-huh. equal nights, and it has to do with locating the revolution to locate the new year, so the first new moon can be found after the equinox. And
okay.
He's following down a theory that it's not actually in March 20th, like we've been told, that actually the days and nights are equal close to February 20th. And so you just piqued my interest when you said the progression of the equinox. Where would be a good source to find out more about that progression of the equinox?
Well, probably it's kind of a textbook type thing on the internet or in the library, just put progression of the equinox on the internet, and it'll come up all over the place. Probably be the easiest way to do a search.
Yeah.
We've moved about almost 6,000 years in this progression, and that's moved the Sahara Desert probably 500 miles. And it also changes what the sky looks like. Stars are in different positions and this sort of thing.
Right.
Now, when Israel was in Egypt, the Egyptians used a solar calendar because it was based on the reflections of the sun off the Great Pyramid. And when that sunlight would reflect off the pyramid, which was concave, the sides of it are concave and would form a... When it came across your farm in the spring, that's when you planted. And when it came across your farm back the other way in the fall, that's when you harvested. And that was the beginning of setting the agricultural calendar. So, in fact, the oldest calendar we have comes from Egypt. And the oldest, believe it's Job that also talks about the path of the sun, the Maserat, and the various constellations in the skies. And each one of the tribes of Israel had one of the constellations as their battle symbol, and that's how they could tell when you got into a good sword fight in the middle of a war, you could tell who your friends were. So,
hey, one more thing. I have KIM's. A few years ago, I got their listings. Is your name Lee Chandiper?
Yes, sir.
Is that C-H-A-N-D?
J-A-N, like Nancy. D, like David. E, B, like boy. Then E-U-R. Jandber. Old German name. My mother happened to be a Swede.
Are some of your materials available on that KIM website, too?
Yes. Well,
we have the previous broadcast we did with Lee, which was October 3rd of 2010. And as I mentioned, have this on the Great Pyramid by E. Raymond Capp. I don't believe you have any books in print at the moment or tapes available, do you, Lee?
No, I don't. Not at this time. This computer world has kind of passed me up here a little bit. But I'm trying to put together some of my writings and come up with a publication. I think the best source on the Great Pyramid right now is still Dr. Adam Rutherford. And you can order his book. Name of it is Pyramidology Book 1. And you can get 1, 2, 3, and 4. Off of, I believe, Amazon.com or eBay.
Adam Rutherford, Pyramidology. Okay.
Right, Pyramidology.
I'll keep my ears out for your name if I see something that's very interesting. I'm enjoying this, and praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call, and if anybody else would like to call in the last few minutes of the program, it's 877-924-7722, toll-free, 877-924-7722. In addition to the Great Pyramid Decoded, we have several other videos by Ray Capp, which are kind of related. We have The Glory of the Stars, and we have The Megalith Builders. They're also 24 on DVD. We're out of The Great Pyramid on VHS. But most of our other titles are still available on VHS, and we're closing them all out at half price if you have a VHS player. Those are ordinarily $22, so you can get any of those while they're still in stock for $11 on VHS. But like I said, we're out of the Great Pyramid Decoded. Lee, we have only 30 seconds left. Would you like to bring up a few thoughts in the remaining time?
Well, I just wanted to mention one thing, that we're always told that we should love our enemies, and I think that we're going to find out truly who our enemy is. I think that people need to know that Leviticus 19:18 tells us that the children of our people are our neighbors. He's talking to Israel there. So it's the children of Israel are our neighbors that we're to turn the other cheek to and not to the Antichrist. And thank you very much.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you were fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.